It's Drive Time on Phoenix FM. My guest this afternoon is resident expert Pete Sipple. He's a gadget man. He's also very au fait with the internet. And we're going to be talking about being safe online.
Good afternoon, Charlie.
So what's the padlock symbol all about on my browser? And when should I see it?
You should ideally see it all of the time. Anytime you're typing anything into a website, you should be looking for that padlock symbol, which is at the top of the browser, just to the left of where you type in the address. And that's basically giving you a clue as to whether you're safe on the internet or not.
And is that used for when I'm buying things and entering my credit card details and my address and sensitive information like that?
That would be the logical thing to do. Originally, the padlock was there if you were doing online banking. As things have moved on, we now have to be more and more careful with our credit card details. So that's where the padlock's useful. But these days, it's also for anything. Any personal information you're typing in, an address, a postcode, a name, a date of birth, anything you're putting into a website, somebody at the other end could be taking that information and doing something with it. So yes, originally it was for financial reasons. Today, it's also for things like data protection reasons.
So when we see the padlock and we see, I think it's HTTPS in the address bar, does that mean that between my computer and the other end, it's a completely encrypted, secure link that no one can cut into halfway and sniff the numbers and letters that are going through?
Absolutely right. It's a pure encryption end to end so that your messages can't be intercepted. It's not entirely secure because, of course, something could happen to the computer at the other end after it's got your data. But it's a fairly good sign that you're not on a dodgy website and you're not going through anything that somebody could potentially intercept, particularly if you're out maybe at a coffee shop or something like that. You know, you'll know that the staff can't be intercepting your credit card details while you're sitting there drinking your latte.
It's a fact of life that we all get spam, but sometimes the email that purports to be from your bank really does look like it's from the bank. How can we be on our guard for things like that?
This is a real problem at the moment. This is one of those things that we all do have to be very careful about. I brought in one particular email to give you an example today. This one came into me yesterday, and it's come in from Amazon. It looks incredibly legit to me. It's got my name on it. It's got a reference number that may or may not be right. And actually, it was one of those I had to look at to think, you know, is this actually genuine? What it's saying is my Amazon Prime subscription is running out and I need to double check my details. Now, I have had a new credit card recently, so this is a very plausible looking email. It comes from Amazon. It looks very genuine. And it's only if you're really on your guard, you can actually realise what's going on. So you have to be so careful because the scammers are so clever these days.
One of the things they do is they link to the real images on the website. So when the email loads, you see the logo of the bank or the logo of Amazon. But when you hover over the links in the email, sometimes if you look closely, you can see that the link might not be going to quite the right web address. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Now, this one looks like it's coming direct from Amazon, but the link is hidden. You can't actually see what that particular link is until you click on it. And of course, once you've clicked on it, then they've got you. You're on a site that you didn't want to be on in the first place. So it is getting increasingly difficult to be on your guard for this sort of thing.
So what happens when you do click one of those links? What happens to your computer? Do they can they see through your webcam and can they record what keys you're pressing?
In theory, they can do all manner of things. This particular one is after a very particular purpose. The link says manage your subscription, and it will take you to a page that asks me for my Amazon username and password. So they've immediately got into my Amazon account. Now, you might think, okay, well, there's nothing there. I don't store my credit card detail there. But the very nice scam here is they could order something from my credit card and arrange an alternative delivery address.
Change the address, yeah.
Or deliver it to one of these Amazon lockers or a local news agent and then just go and pick it up. And of course, they've got my Amazon details to prove that it's me to pick it up. So it's a very common scam and there's a lot of targeting of Amazon customers at the moment.
And I guess once they're into your account, they may have a day or two to change the email address, change the shipping address, order a couple of £100 worth of stuff, automatically charge to your payment system, and then you know you kick up high hell once you see your credit card statement, and eventually you might get the money back. But in the meantime, you've got a lot of resetting of passwords to do.
Absolutely, and you'll be unaware it's happened. You won't get an email because the first thing they'll do is change your email address, so you'll get no notification. You'll only find out, as you say, when you get your credit card statement. And even then, a lot of the scammers are quite clever. What they'll do is they'll only order order things for maybe £20-30 that you wouldn't notice if you aren't paying a lot of attention. Or if you buy a lot from Amazon anyway, you might think, oh, I don't know, maybe the wife's bought something, or maybe I'd forgotten about that purchase. And they'll sneak through 20 or 30 items over the course of a few months for small amounts of money that maybe you wouldn't spot. Then you'd never stop your card, and they'll carry on getting away with it.
Is there a preferred email provider? Is it advantageous to have a disposable email account in some situations?
Now, to be honest, this is what I do. This particular email that I'm showing you now, I only knew this was fake because it didn't come into the right email address. Now, I run four or five different email addresses. I've got a personal one that the family know. I've got a banking and financial one. And I've got an online shopping one. And two or three disposable email addresses. This has come into a disposable email address. So I know it's not a real, genuine message about my personal Amazon account. And they're very easy to set up. Go to Gmail or Outlook, which is Microsoft's one. Create a few accounts. And just be careful about who you give your addresses to. This particular one, as I say, instantly, one glance at the email shows this isn't from Amazon. But if I hadn't got multiple accounts, there's a chance I could have clicked on that link just in case.
There's a little trick I found with Gmail, actually quite recently, where you can put a plus sign at the end of your email address before the at Gmail bit. So you could have Phoenix plus Studio or Phoenix plus Sales, and you've automatically got an alias that still goes through into your inbox, but you kind of know where it's come from because you've given that specific alias to that new person or new company.
Very clever. Of course, a scammer could just take the plus out and end up in your main account as well. So yes, it can be very handy. It's very handy for categorising and storing your emails in your inbox, but it's no guarantee that a scammer couldn't just delete anything after your plus symbol and substitute it with something else. And they could guess, you know, bank or Amazon or shopping and circumvent that kind of security as well. But a completely disposable address that's, you know, letters and numbers would you know, make it very difficult for someone to bypass.
When my granddad first got a computer about 10 years ago and he started to get spam emails, he was a little bit worried that people had got his details. Now, I guess with someone who has a name like John Smith, now, those kind of email addresses can probably be guessed. And the spammers use what's called a dictionary attack, don't they? Where they just take random words and letters and they just throw out thousands upon thousands of emails and kind of hope for the best.
Also as well, you mentioned there that when you do get one of these links and you might maybe click on it to see what's going on. Of course, that tells the scammer that you're a human and that you actually do open that kind of email. So even just opening it from your inbox and looking at it is enough for the scammer to know that maybe you're worth targeting and there's a human on the end of it. So you do have to be very, very careful. And same with passwords. There's a number of problems with passwords. People just can't remember them. I don't know what you're like, Charlie, but I certainly can't remember all of my passwords.
We're encouraged to have a capital letter and a number and not the name of, or not our own name and not the word password or the name of our mum's maiden name, because there are so many combinations and ways of they can get the information from you if you haven't got your guard up.
That's where it gets difficult, is because you're now expected to create these 10-digit passwords with a capital letter, three numbers and a symbol, a dollar sign or a, you know, whatever sign in there to hide it. But then how do you remember all of these things? Because there's just too many passwords to remember. Do you put it on a post-it note and then someone nicks that? Or do you do what I've done, which I'm still not entirely sure is the most secure way of doing it? I store all my passwords on an app on my phone that has its own password. I only have to remember the one to get into that one. And I use a thumbprint to get into the screen that asks me for the password. But if someone cuts off my thumb and knows my master password, then they've got all my other ones.
It's not entirely foolproof, is it?
But what is?
Yeah.
You know, who can actually remember 100 10-digit passwords that are all different with different letters and underscores and all sorts in there? It's very difficult.
So as well as being on your guard with looking at the strange emails that come in, is there anything we can have on our computer that we want on the computer that can help do a little bit of the work for us and maybe keep the nasties away?
There's a few things you should think about doing. Good antivirus software is a must. There are so many viruses out there that can come in through email or through maybe a USB stick that you plug in, anything like that. So a decent antivirus package is pretty much a must. These days as well, it's generally recommended that you have some kind of firewall. Your router that connects you to the internet might have that. But a software firewall is also very useful, again, for something that gets plugged into your machine, or you know, a mate that comes in and wants to borrow your Wi-Fi password to get in. So firewalls are valuable. The other thing that's worth looking at these days is a malware program that can also look for fake things that come into emails. Sometimes as well, you might see something that pops up and says your computer may be susceptible or may be running slow. Do you want to install this plugin or this web browser addition? And a piece of malware software can just stop anything like that getting in. They don't tend to be as damaging as some of the viruses, but they can, you know, sniff your passwords and security details. So really, you do need a firewall, good antivirus, and malware software these days.
It's important to stress that a virus on a computer is not like a natural occurring thing. It's actually a computer program that someone's written with the intent of causing harm and damage, isn't it?
Absolutely. And these days, they can get in through so many different ways. Email, browsing a website, downloading a file that maybe isn't the legitimate version of the file. Another good trick that these scammers use is they will buy the web domains for mistyped company names. So, you know, if you mistype Amazon, you could go to a fake Amazon site.
Or Goggle.
Yeah. And once they're in, they can easily implant a little bit of software on your machine that means they've then got access to your data.